Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the conclusion of our ongoing series entitled Noble Romans. Today is part four. In the first two installments in the series, we looked at a noble Roman centurion who interacted with the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. In parts 3 and 4, we turned our attention to another noble Roman centurion who interacted with the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 10, this one named Cornelius. But before we conclude the series, let's hear some more great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project entitled Restoration, this is track 6, named A Place Called Grace.
So many years I heard it told, the story of compassion, a prodigal son who left the fold, found no satisfaction. On my knees, Lord, I cried out to you. I'm so alone. But if there's room in your house for one more, I'm ready.
Up.
And now, the conclusion to our four-part series in which we studied lessons we can learn from some of the noble Roman citizens described in God's Word.
I'm a career man. Career military, yeah. I'm going to retire with a big house in the burbs. It's so easy for men, if they find success in the realm of money and career, it's so easy for them to settle for that. The Bible says, poor man, you're poor, rejoice in that you are abased. Are you rich, sir? Rejoice in that your wealth is going to be taken away. What? Yes. There's something far more important. Far more important. Do you know your identity in Jesus Christ? This man somehow knew that there's something eternal that means a whole lot more than how many men I had command of down here or what title I could put in front of my name. I'm Italian, I'm Roman, I'm centurion, I'm Cornelius. And that is, who am I in the eyes of God? He has no standing. Do you know what I mean, the legal sense? He has no standing. He's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. He's from the wrong side of the religious railroad tracks. He's from the wrong ethnicity. He has no standing with God. Remember when the Gentile woman came to him? Please, Master, need a miracle. It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Gentile. Oh, I don't need a whole loaf, Master. Just a crumb would be enough to give me a miracle. I like your style. I'm going to reach forward to the next dispensation and get a miracle and bring it back into this dispensation and give it to you just because of your faith. Just like that woman, this man had no standing. He was a Gentile. He was a dog. He was not from the people who have salvation. He's amongst the group of people that if they want salvation under the Mosaic law, they're supposed to abandon their nation, abandon their tradition, abandon their background, abandon their heritage, and become Israeli, immigrate and naturalize if they want salvation. He has no standing. But a man with no standing still says, I love God. I am devoted to Him. I am devout. How can I serve Him? I will give to the poor people. I will pray to Him. And the Bible says he prayed all the time. He was all the time giving money to the poor people, and he was all the time praying until this man who had no standing gets a visit from an angel. And the angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, called him by his name. Can I tell you, God knows your name? He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. What is it, Lord? Cornelius, even though you don't have standing, even though in the world of the religious geography here, you're a nobody from the wrong side of the tracks, your prayers to God and your selfless acts of giving to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. You have no standing, but yet you stood up anyway. On my dad's side of the family, I don't come from a family that had any history with God. And on my mom's side of the family, my mom was alive when the family found God. And only now, in these days, do we have some of my cousins that have become preachers and pastors. I'm not like a James Kilgore who was born into the C.P. Kilgore family. I'm not like a Daniel Garlitz who was born in under his dad. I'm not an Anthony Mangan that comes from a G.A. Mangan. I didn't have any standing. But if you love God and you want to stand up, you can find a way to stand up. He'll help you. This is interesting to me. I'm talking here about names and surnames. This guy's a Gentile. He doesn't have the Holy Ghost. I'm guessing maybe that he probably wasn't really capable of being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Did you notice that God spoke to Peter by His Spirit? This Bible says the Spirit spoke to Peter. But Cornelius had to have an angel with lips. And the angel says to him, send men to Joppa. This is interesting. The last centurion that we read about came himself. He didn't send servants. He came himself. But in this instance, he was told by the angel to send men. He couldn't go himself. He had to send men. You ever wonder why that was? Why would God not say, go to Joppa? Why would the angel say, send men to Joppa? I think maybe it has to do with the fact that the whole time the men are gone, he's telling everybody in his household about a visit from an angel. He's gathering a preborn church. He's assembling preborn saints with a testimony. Let me tell you, a miracle can put a church on the map. I imagine there might have been a few people turning up their nose at the way Jonah smelled. Until somebody showed up and said, y'all better listen to him. You can't even imagine how he got here. There was somebody going in front of Peter saying, there's a guy coming and y'all better listen to him because you can't even imagine how he got here to our house. Send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon. That's his old name. Whose surname is Peter. That's his new name. It's kind of like Jacob and Israel. Jesus looked at Peter, said, I'm going to call you Rock. I'm surnaming you Rock. He said, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought it was Peter. Peter is the transliteration from the Petros. It means rock. In the Aramaic, it's Cephas. In the Greek, it's Petros. It means rock. Jesus literally looked at him and said, I'm calling you Rock. I'm giving you a new name, a new identity. It's so awesome. Peter has been raised to be a Jewish supremacist. He has been raised to believe Jews have the one true God. Well, that's true. He's been raised to believe Gentiles don't. Well, that's true too. He's been raised to believe we are the people of God. That's true. He's been raised to believe and they're not. And to some extent, that's true. But in all of that truth, it's not the whole truth. It leaves out a very important tidbit. And that is that from the dawn of time, God had a plan that he kept secret. The Bible says he kept the plan secret, hidden in himself. The Apostle Paul said, now it's made manifest. Now the mystery has been unveiled. The mystery is that God would build a church out of Gentile people. Peter comes from the old school of Jews that don't know that secret. They haven't seen that mystery revealed. God still had it hidden in himself. And God is getting ready to reveal the mystery that has been hidden for ages. First is the timing. On the day before he is going to unveil the mystery, he sends an angel to the Gentile house. Go over and get this preacher. And then they're journeying. And the next day, as they're about to arrive, God unveils the mystery. He drops this sheet down. And the sheet is gathered up with all kind of stuff in it. And the sheet drops down out of heaven in this vision. And the four corners of it open up. And there is all kind of nasty stuff crawling around on that sheet. Everything that Jews aren't supposed to eat is on that sheet. Crab, lobster, rats, big beetles. Every kind of creature they're not supposed to eat is crawling around. Wait a minute, I forgot to tell y'all. God waited until lunchtime when he was starved to death and then dropped the sheet. The Bible says it was about noontime. The Bible even tells the times. That angel appeared at 3 p.m. the day before. So they couldn't get an early start. That angel appeared at 3 p.m., so their journey would put them coming to the house at the right time down by the seaside. I want to tell you, you may think it's topsy-turvy, but God's got it under control. Amen. And the scripture says, right about lunchtime, about noontime, Peter's getting real hungry. And he says to his hosts, can we get some food going here? And the Bible says he would have eaten, but while they were fixing the food, How many of y'all know how tough it is when you're hungry and they're cooking the food right while you're hungry and you're waiting on it? And you can't eat it yet because they're trying to get it ready. That's what it was. And so he was up on the housetop. Their roofs were flat. And a lot of times they would have like a little patio, a little furniture up there. And so he's up on the rooftop and they're fixing the food downstairs. I imagine he could probably smell it. Maybe they were fixing shishlik or something, you know. Some good kosher meal. Mutton, you know. Lamb, roasted lamb. Some good kosher meal. And he's, oh, that's going to taste good. Zing, trance from God. Down comes the sheep. He's starving. He's hungry. Trance from God. While I'm starving, they're fixing food down there. And now I got this sheet with beetles and rats and crawdads and everything we're not supposed to eat. And the voice from the Lord says, arise, kill, and eat. Now, Lord, you know I am not about to crunch down on a dung beetle. I am not about to munch on this. I am not about to rip the head off this rat and eat this rat. Lord, I am a kosher Jew. Never have I broken this Mosaic command about the unclean. I have never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord speaks and says, don't you call what I have cleaned unclean. And folks, you got to get this. The unclean things represent Gentile people. And the Lord was saying, I'm getting ready to pour my spirit out on Gentile people. I'm getting ready to clean Gentile people up. I'm getting ready to change their identity. Their ethnicity won't matter. I'm going to do a work that surpasses that. And it happens over and over again. Until Peter is firmly convinced, God is trying to tell me something. I don't know what it is, but God is trying to tell me something. And just then, the Bible says he's sitting there thinking, what does this vision mean? When suddenly, bang, 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 out at the gate, he looks and there's people down there. And the Spirit speaks to him. There's three men come for you. Go with them. Don't doubt anything. I've sent them. The Bible says he goes down and he goes with them. He gets to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile, the unclean, the dog, the spiritual equivalent of dog meat. He gets to Cornelius' house and it's packed. Soldiers, family, servants, and they're all waiting to hear what the preacher man who was identified to us by name, by an angel. The angel told us his name and his new name, his surname, and the angel told us whose house he was staying at and where the house was. An angel in a vision. We are ready to listen to what this man has to say. We're supposed to preach to everybody, but sometimes we don't. In fact, probably, to be honest, most of the time we don't. God forbid that he would have to bang us over the head to get us to do our job. But I do so appreciate it when he works it out to where he somehow prepares the way for us so that when we get there and do our job, there are people saying, I'm ready to hear you, and I'm ready to do whatever you tell us to do. And the Bible says that Peter opened his mouth. Can you see the big light bulb come on over his head? He's standing here looking at these Gentiles, and he's thinking, Gentiles, Jews, unclean, clean. I got it! I got it! I got the interpretation of the vision. He opened his mouth, and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But that no matter what nation you come from, if you fear God and if you work righteousness, you'll be accepted of Him. Wow! So he lays in and starts to preaching to him. He's telling them about Jesus. And while he's preaching to him, God just comes and they start getting the Holy Ghost. They're talking in tongues, falling out under the power. And Peter brought some Jewish believers with him. And they were flipped out. We remember Pentecost when God filled the Jews. We remember the tongue talking when God filled the Jews. We remember the power and the anointing when God filled the Jews on the day of Pentecost and in subsequent infillings. And now we're seeing full-blown Roman Gentiles. They're getting the same Holy Ghost we got. They're talking in tongues just like we did. What's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. God is looking past their wrong identity to give them a right identity. He's looking past their ethnicity. He's looking past how they were raised. He's looking past how they were taught. He's even looking past how they have lived and how they have behaved. He's saying, come on over here. I got a whole new thing. I take out your stony heart and I put in a fleshly heart. And then I do more than that. I pour my spirit into that new heart. I got good news for you, folks. What do you got there? What do you got there? Immorality in your background. Your parents didn't teach you right. You committed sins before you knew any better. And you messed your life up. What do you got there? A nasty situation. I got good news for you. The Lord has this thing called the new covenant. He will look past your past. He will look beyond your flaws. He will look beyond your ethnicity. He will look beyond your lack of proper upbringing. He will look beyond what you were taught that was wrong. He will look beyond all of that, and He will fix you, and He will change you. He will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's awesome! You don't have to have a preacher for a daddy. Now, if you do, thank God. This is the awesome thing. All God needs is some kindling to start a fire. Don't think that someone who has a preacher for a daddy, don't think that someone who has a godly woman for their mother does not have an advantage. They do have an advantage. Thank God, it's a godly advantage. We can go from a generation that God rescued from drugs to a generation that God spares from ever trying drugs. We can go from a generation that God rescued from immorality and fornication to a generation that He spares them from ever getting into immorality and fornication. It's awesome! But in order for God to have that big log on the fire that is the next generation, He's got to have some kindling to start that fire with. Just one person that's willing to say, I am tired of the cycle of sin. I need a new identity. I need a new name. I need a change from God. I have no standing, but I want to stand up anyway. Is there anybody that will listen to me? And God says, I will listen to you. How many of you here, you're not second, third, or fourth generation? Your first generation coming into this truth. Raise your hands up high. Look around, folks. It's awesome. It's awesome that a people who were not a people could be brought into the kingdom of God. I want to close with just preaching to you about some exchanges. We merged two classes today, and I taught a lesson to those young people about some exchanges to avoid. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talked about the wicked people of this worldly system. He talks about how they exchanged the glory of God for the corruptible image of men and beasts. They exchanged the truth for a lie. And they exchanged natural affections for unnatural affections. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to work in themselves things that aren't even convenient. Yeah? So now that we know the changes to avoid, let me tell you about the exchanges that you want. We had a little brief Bible study, me and Brother Laddie and Brother Baron Claypool, just before church tonight. Isaiah chapter 61. Just listen to this trade that the Lord will do. This is a prophecy about Jesus. It is a messianic prophecy. And Jesus stood up in the synagogue one day, and He asked for the scroll of Isaiah, and He opened it, and He found this passage, and He read this, and then He rolled the scroll up, and He handed it to the minister, and He told the people, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. This is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. It's powerful, folks. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Here it is. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Folks, you don't have to have a Bible college degree. You don't even have to have a secular college degree. You don't have to have 30 years of on-the-job experience. You don't even have to go through a 3-year Bible study. The Lord has revealed the secret that He had hidden in Himself from the beginning of time. And that is that He is going to build a church for Himself out of non-right people. He is going to build a church for Himself out of non-Christian, non-Jew, non-believing, non-right living, non-existing as far as the kingdom is concerned. I'm going to build my church. It's like alchemy, folks. It's like turning lead into gold. He reaches in where to amongst those that are not a people, and He makes them a people. And they come in and they bring baggage. They bring mourning and sadness and heaviness. They come loaded down with baggage. Folks, we are seeing them come in. We're seeing the baggage. We're dealing with the baggage right now. And we're going to deal with even more baggage in the days to come. You know what? We just need to have a depot out there. Drop your baggage off and come on in. God don't need your baggage, and He's going to do a work in your life. Just drop all that at the door. He says, hey, give me your spirit of heaviness, I'll give you a garment of praise. You give me your ashes and your sadness and your tears and your mourning, and I'll give you beauty. I'll give you the oil of joy. You know why we dance around here? It's because He took the depression and He gave us a garment of praise. It's the tabernacle of David. How's that song go? When the Spirit of the Lord moves on my heart, I will dance like David danced. Am I singing it right, honey? You know that one? Let's sing that one. I'm sorry, I didn't give Sister Music advance warning. But she's so awesome, she can do it anyhow. Fingers of magic. Say, I'd like to be like that. Work at it and pray. And love God. 7 years of formal piano training. And then she learned how to play on ear. On top of that, she can read the music or play without the music. Isn't she awesome? Sister Music. Amen. I've seen the pictures from before her mom followed God, knew God. When I met her, when I married her, her dad said, well, she can get married, but I don't want that boyfriend of hers talking to me about God. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I'm glad to say, I can't tell you what I would have been without God. It wouldn't have been good. It would not have been good. But I'm thankful that although I can't really know for sure what terrors and harm I would have done to myself had I not known God, I can tell you with joy that I know my identity in Him today. You remember how it goes? I wanted to, y'all stand, let's sing this song. And if you got some dancing shoes, put your dancing shoes on. Anybody in here appreciate the fact that you didn't deserve it, but God filled you with the Holy Ghost anyway? Anybody appreciate the fact you didn't deserve to have your sins washed away, but He gave you His name in baptism and washed you with His blood anyway?
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.